Today is Thursday, August 21st, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump's Military Grip Tightens on Washington by Patrick Martin. What is now taking place in Washington, D.C. is an unfolding presidential coup d'etat. National Guard troops from six Republican-run states began to deploy on the streets of Washington, D.C. Wednesday, while Trump administration officials declared that the U.S. Capitol could remain under military occupation indefinitely, depending only on the decisions of Trump as Commander-in-Chief. Troops arrived Tuesday from West Virginia and Wednesday from South Carolina, Ohio, Mississippi, and Louisiana, with troops from Tennessee expected as well. This will bring the total police military presence in the U.S. Capitol to nearly 9,000. This includes 3,200 Metropolitan Police, 2,300 Capitol Police, 1,200 State National Guard troops, 800 D.C. National Guard troops, 472 police from the Washington Metro Transit System, 350 National Park Police, and at least 500 other armed federal agents, including FBI and ICE. Much of the National Guard force entering Washington comes from states that once formed the Confederacy. Trump is consciously drawing on the most reactionary traditions in American history. On the very day these troops arrived in the Capitol, Trump launched a tirade on social media against the Smithsonian Institution for presenting exhibits that, in his view, spent, quote, too much time, unquote, describing, quote, how bad slavery was. Three of Trump's principal political thugs, Vice President J.D. Vance, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, and White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, greeted National Guard troops outside Union Station on Wednesday. The location was deliberately chosen, only a block from the Capitol building, where the previous Trump-led invasion of Washington culminated in the violent assault on Congress on January 6, 2021. In a very real sense, the takeover of Washington ordered by Trump on August 11, 2025, is the direct continuation, or rather the resumption, of the coup d'etat that Trump attempted to overturn the results of the 2020 election. This time, however, the action has been carefully planned over the 7 months since Trump re-entered the White House, and he relies not on thousands of undisciplined and largely unorganized rioters, but on the armed forces of the capitalist state. Vance, Hegseth, and Miller posed for pictures with the troops and claimed that the military intervention has already slashed the rate of violent crime in Washington, the nominal pretext for the military intervention. But their preening before the media was disrupted by chants of Free D.C., Free D.C. from protesters opposed to Trump's actions, which echoed loudly inside the building. This provoked a fascistic rant from Miller, who denounced the protesters as crazy communists, adding, quote, we're not going to let the communists destroy a great American city, let alone the nation's capital. He claimed the protesters were outsiders with, quote, no roots in this city, and accused them of advocating for, quote, the criminals, the killers, the rapists, the drug dealers, unquote. Miller went on to call the District of Columbia, quote, one of the most violent cities on planet Earth, unquote, although it is less violent than most of the capital cities of the states whose Republican governors have sent National Guard troops. While Miller set the hysterical tone, Vance delivered the main message that the military occupation of the U.S. Capitol could be of indefinite duration. Asked about the 30-day deadline set by law in the 1973 D.C. Home Rule Act for Trump to get congressional authorization for his takeover of the Washington police, Vance replied, quote, well, we'll ultimately let the President of the United States determine where we are after 30 days of this emergency order. If the President of the United States thinks that he has to extend this order to ensure that people have access to public safety, then that's exactly what he'll do, unquote. Asked to respond to polls showing that a majority of Washington, D.C. residents oppose the deployment of the National Guard and feel less safe with their city flooded with armed men including hundreds wearing masks as they stage raids and arrests, Vance sneered, quote, maybe the same polls that said Kamala Harris won the popular vote by 10 points, unquote. He then shut down the press briefing. The troop deployment in Washington is following a worked-out design, highlighting the military by stationing uniformed troops in armored vehicles at every location likely to attract out-of-town tourists. The Washington Monument and National Mall, the Lincoln Memorial, the White House, Capitol Hill, and Union Station. This was expanded Wednesday to 10 metro stations, mainly in the downtown area. The aim is to normalize a visible role for the U.S. military in the U.S. Capitol, and a sharp break with past practice. Up to now, neither troops nor police have engaged in mass repression against the population of the city, although there have been scattered clashes in immigrant neighborhoods provoked by the setting up of checkpoints and brutal actions by ICE agents. This is only temporary, however. The logic of Trump's policies and his visceral hatred of the working class lead inexorably to violence. Trump's political coup is assisted by the corporate media, which has downplayed the military police occupation to an extraordinary extent. The hometown Washington Post, owned by billionaire Jeff Bezos, the Amazon boss who is one of the world's richest men, relegated its report on the deployment of National Guard troops from six states to an inside page of its Metro News section, as if it was describing a local water main break and not a major step in the erection of a presidential dictatorship in America. In a rare exception to the media blackout, David Graham and The Atlantic commented, quote, Humvees posted at places such as Union Station make the Capitol look more like the Green Zone in Baghdad than the place you get off the Amtrak. Federal agents appear to have torn down a political sign in a liberal neighborhood and refused to identify themselves or their agencies in confrontations, unquote. After noting that Trump has set no target date for ending the deployment, Graham concluded, quote, that raises the scary prospect that it could just go on forever or slide into martial law around the country, with no stated goal and with an acquiescent Congress and Supreme Court, the country could end up with the U.S. military occupying its major cities before most Americans realize what's happening. Over the course of just 7 months in office, Trump has implemented a systematic plan to establish a fascistic dictatorship. A series of executive orders has laid the groundwork for invoking the Insurrection Act and criminalizing opposition to the Gaza genocide. Federal troops have already been deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border, and then to back up mass anti-immigrant raids in Los Angeles, followed by the grotesque June 14th military parade in Washington, D.C., with tanks rolling down the streets of the Capitol on Trump's 79th birthday. Now the military police occupation of the nation's capital has begun, with plans underway for similar deployments in major cities throughout the country. The principal factor enabling this drive towards dictatorship is the collaboration of the Democratic Party, which seeks to block any expression of the mass popular opposition to Trump's ongoing seizure of power, diverting it into the dead end of legal appeals and impotent protests. It is worth noting here that in the same poll that showed D.C. residents opposed Trump's military makeover, 50% felt that Democratic Mayor Muriel Bowser had done too little to resist it. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called Trump's actions a political ploy and, quote, attempted distraction from Trump's other scandals, such as his ties to the late multimillionaire sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Schumer's deputy, Senator Dick Durbin, called the troop mobilization, quote unquote, political theater. Maryland Governor Wes Moore told the New York Times, quote, I see this as performative and nothing more, unquote. So Trump is overthrowing American democracy to distract from a sex scandal? The sheer absurdity of this argument is a demonstration of the political bankruptcy of the Democratic Party. That apparently does not occur to these gentlemen that if Trump is able to seize power as a president dictator, he will not have to worry about unflattering news reports or congressional investigations. Speaking to the media outside the White House last week, Trump's border czar Tom Homan declared, quote, President Trump doesn't have a limitation on his authority to make this country safe again, There's no limitation on that. These words have meaning. Trump and his top aides recognize no legal and constitutional restraint on the powers of the presidency. Earlier in the week, during a Monday press briefing at the White House, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky made a reference to his postponing the presidential election set for March 2024 indefinitely, under martial law rule imposed after the Russian invasion of February 2022. Trump said, jumping in, quote, "So you're saying during the war you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now, if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections. Oh, that's good," unquote. The political trajectory of this administration is unmistakably towards war and dictatorship. This is the outcome of a fundamental shift in class relations. What is being demonstrated every day is that the extreme social inequality that prevails under American capitalism today is incompatible with the democratic forms established by the American Revolution and extended by the Civil War. America has once again become a house divided, but this time between a tiny stratum of billionaires and corporate bosses at the top, and the vast majority, the working class and lower sections of the middle class, facing a constant struggle to survive. Working people and young people must face reality. President Trump is establishing the framework and precedent for a military police dictatorship, not just in Washington, D.C., but in every city and state. The Democratic Party will do nothing to stop it. The corporate media will not even acknowledge that the coup is taking place. And the pseudo-left organizations, like the Democratic Socialists of America, along with the trade unions, tell workers to put their faith in the Democrats and elect more Democrats in 2026, if there even is an election. Trump's coup has already provoked protests in Washington. Inevitably, as he seeks to extend his bid for power, there will be mass resistance. Trump is setting himself on a collision course with millions of working people in the United States. The discussion which must be developed in every workplace and school is this: what should be the response to the coup d'etat in Washington? How can the working people stop the establishment of a dictatorship in the United States? Israel launches onslaught against Gaza City, by Andre Damon. The Israeli military has begun its onslaught on Gaza City, currently the only portion of Gaza that remains outside the full-scale occupation by troops of the Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, in a new and even deadlier phase of the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza. The aim of the operation is the total military subjection of the most densely populated section of the Gaza Strip, in preparation for the forced displacement of the population to concentration camps in the south of the enclave, from which the Netanyahu government plans to expel the Palestinians to other countries, including South Sudan. Brigadier General Effi Defrin, Israel's military spokesman, said on Wednesday, quote, "We have begun the preliminary operations in the first stages of the attack on Gaza City," unquote. The IDF announced that it is mobilizing another 60,000 reservists to complete the conquest of the city. Israel already occupies 90% of Gaza, according to United Nations estimates. Israeli officials told the New York Times that the IDF would first surround Gaza City and forcibly expel the population to the south before fully occupying the city. Residents told the Times that Israeli forces were systematically demolishing buildings in the outskirts of the city using remote-controlled explosives, moving ever closer to the city center. Volker Turk, UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, said earlier this month that, quote, "A complete military takeover of the occupied Gaza Strip will result in a more massive forced displacement, more killing, more unbearable suffering, senseless destruction, and atrocity crimes," unquote. Conscious of the fact that the ongoing starvation of Gaza and total military occupation of the enclave is a death sentence for the remaining Israeli hostages Israeli government minister Orit Strock condemned those who put, quote, the value of returning the hostages above the national interests, unquote. At least 81 Palestinians were killed in Israeli attacks throughout Gaza on Wednesday, Al Jazeera reported. Over 62,000 Palestinians have been killed since the start of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza in October 2023. Also Wednesday, the Netanyahu government announced the expansion of Israeli settlements in the West Bank, aiming for the complete control and subjugation of the entire Palestinian territory. The government approved a West Bank settlement construction project known as E1, which has been planned for over two decades. The plan comes on top of the construction of 20,000 new settler housing units in the West Bank so far this year. The new settlement project would effectively split the West Bank in two. Israeli Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich boasted that the settlement plan means the idea of a Palestinian state, quote, is being erased from the table, unquote. He added, quote, every town, every neighborhood, every housing unit is another nail in the coffin of this dangerous idea, unquote. Mustafa Barghouti, Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative, told Al Jazeera, quote, this plan will completely separate the West Bank in two pieces. It will also isolate Jerusalem completely from the rest of the occupied Palestinian West Bank. According to the announcement of the settlement plan, Stéphane Dujarric, a spokesperson for UN Chief Antonio Guterres, said, quote, we stand against all settlement activity in the occupied territories, which we view as illegal under international law, unquote. The start of Israel's assault on Gaza City takes place as mass starvation in Gaza is only deepening. In a statement on Wednesday, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees says nearly one in every three Palestinian children in Gaza City is now afflicted by malnutrition. The United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, or UNRWA, said, quote, this is not a natural disaster. It is a man-made preventable starvation, unquote. In a statement published on Wednesday, Israeli rights group Gisha declared categorically that, quote, the population is being starved, unquote, in Gaza. It said, quote, Israel has used its control over aid entry as a weapon of war since day one, including as a tool of pressure and displacement, unquote. The report by Gisha noted that 269 people have died since the beginning of the war on Gaza from the effects of malnutrition, including over 112 children. In July, the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, issued an alert stating that the, quote, worst-case scenario of famine is unfolding in the Strip, unquote. On Wednesday, the United States announced a series of sanctions against officials of the International Criminal Court, which has brought war crimes charges against Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, reemphasizing the Trump administration's support for the Gaza genocide. In a statement on Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said that two ICC judges and two prosecutors were being added to the list of ICC members sanctioned by the Trump administration. In a statement on X, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz thanked the Trump administration for its sanctions against the ICC, declaring, quote, this historic step reflects the unbreakable alliance between Israel and the United States, unquote. Last year, the ICC said it had, quote, reasonable grounds, unquote, to believe Netanyahu, quote, intentionally and knowingly deprived the civilian population in Gaza of objects indispensable to their survival, including food, water, and medicine, and medical supplies, as well as fuel and electricity, unquote. Australian state Labor government invoking neo-Nazi march to justify sweeping anti-protest laws. By Eric Ludlow. About 100 masked neo-Nazis marched through the central business district of Australia's second largest city, Melbourne, in the early morning hours of Saturday, August 9th. Police watched on, allowing the pop-up protest to continue, even as a 26-year-old was assaulted by the far-right goons and had to be taken to hospital. No arrests were made. The members of the neo-Nazi Anti-Semitic National Socialist Network, or NSN, held a banner inscribed, "White Man, Fight Back." The extreme right group has held several similar marches in recent years, including during the nationalist January 6th holiday, Australia Day. While the numbers involved remain small, and the sentiment among the broader population who know of the NSN's existence is deep disgust, the extreme right group's march highlights the cultivation of a far-right layer who have been emboldened by the rightward shift of all the political parties and their mouthpieces in the corporate media. The anti-immigrant xenophobia and nationalist chauvinism presented by the fascistic layers involved in Saturday morning's march is in line with the policies pursued by governments in Australia, above all led by the Labour Party. In a video shared in private messaging app Telegram, leader of the NSN, Joel Davis, posted, quote, "People say that Melbourne is the left-wing capital of Australia. It's becoming the Nazi capital of Australia," unquote. He said, quote, "It was quite something because the police just had to accept our presence. We've been treated very poorly by the police in the past. We've now grown large enough that they simply have to accept the fact that we want to march and that we will march. We're all on a dopamine rush because we know this is just the beginning," unquote. Davis is currently facing a charge in South Australia for displaying a Nazi symbol on a belt buckle at a march in January. The tepid response of the police to neo-Nazis marching through Melbourne's streets is in stark contrast to the treatment of protesters calling for an end to the Israeli state's war crimes against the Palestinian people, a genocide which has been supported politically and materially by the Australian government. This includes the mobilization of riot police by the Victorian state Labour government to forcefully block an attempt by about 25,000 pro-Palestinian protesters from marching across Melbourne's King Street Bridge, less than a week prior to the neo-Nazi march. This, the government claimed, was to protect the public from unacceptable risk. The King Street Bridge demonstration was timed to coincide with a pro-Palestinian march in Sydney, where the state Labour government of New South Wales attempted to prevent a march across the Sea Harbour Bridge. The Sydney protests went ahead, attracting possibly 300,000 people who called for an end to Israel's campaign of ethnic cleansing. The government and media attempted to smear the protesters both before and after the march, using the cynical fraud that the march would be a threat to public safety and attempting to present protesters as anti-Semitic. In Victoria, at least 5 pro-Palestinian protesters have been charged with spurious offenses aimed at suppressing the right to protest. The government of Premier Jacinta Allen has gone so far as to join a right-wing demonization campaign against schoolchildren, who have been compelled to strike against the horrific scenes of genocide they are seeing on social media. The fact that this is the response of governments to millions, including Jewish people, who have spoken out against genocide, while genuine neo-Nazi anti-Semites are allowed to spout their filth with minimal repercussions, is yet another exposure of the fraud of the campaign of the political and media establishment to feign concern for Jewish people. Jacinta Allen's government has invoked the neo-Nazi march to justify sweeping planned anti-protest laws. These laws will not be used to clamp down on the far right. These laws will instead be used to target the broad mass of workers and youth who are increasingly coming into struggle against declining living standards, falling wages, and imperialist war. In a statement on the day of the far-right march, Allen said, quote, "Our criminal anti-vilification laws come into effect next month. We'll introduce powers for police to unmask cowards at protests after that," unquote. Shadow Police Minister from the state's opposition Liberal National Coalition, David Southwick, called for further police powers, including the introduction of a permit registration system and police move-on powers. Victoria is the only state in Australia without protest permit requirements, in addition to the Australian Capital Territory and move-on laws. Human rights organizations have hit back at the Allen government's planned anti-protest laws, leading to mild revisions, according to a Guardian article published on Wednesday. Anti-mask laws would endanger immunocompromised protesters, those who have been victims of abuse, and those who cover their faces for religious or cultural reasons. The Guardian article says the government's original plan of a full ban on face coverings at protests, with a $2,000 fine for those in violation, would be replaced with penalties only for those wearing face coverings, police say in conveniently vague language are, quote, refusing to cooperate or believed to be committing a criminal act, unquote. These moves are part of a wholesale attempt to suppress democratic rights and the right to protest by the federal and state governments in Australia, led by the Labour Party, which are initially targeting demonstrations against the ongoing U.S.-Israeli genocide against the Palestinian people, but will be used, above all, to censor any and all anti-government, anti-war dissent among workers and youth. Internationally, such anti-democratic laws are being accompanied by the promotion of the far right in official politics and the corporate media and its elevation into state power. The sharpest expression of this is the fascist Donald Trump's second term as president of the most powerful imperialist country in the world, the United States. His administration has unleashed a war against the working class at home and abroad through an assault on education, public health, immigrants, and the promotion of America First economic and military confrontation. Governments in Australia, while not led by fascists, are implementing the same anti-working class policies, which are expressed in their most naked form and the politics of extreme right-wing organizations like the NSN. For that reason, the struggle against fascist thugs and neo-Nazis cannot be taken forward one iota through the bolstering of the capitalist state and its police. To take forward the fight against the promotion of fascism and the associated attacks on democratic rights, the working class must unite in a common struggle against the source of war and authoritarianism, the capitalist system itself. This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.